1969. Kiwi, an ex-Air Force security Alsatian, I inherited custody of this dog and a tank full of tropical fish from Malcolm when I bought part of the buildings at Mags Hill, Timsbury. There were other things, but too many to list. A good guard dog, she was given the role of burglar alarm for the open plan /work-in-progress site at Mags Hill. Much building material was on site and very much open to the elements. One unfortunate wandering soul spent the night pinned against one wall of the room containing the new floor joists and T&G flooring timber. Was he relieved when Malcolm came home? He had of course relieved himself earlier, with the aid of Kiwi's barking. I soon learned how to mix cement properly, how not to plaster yourself with too much browning, and what finish, bonding and thistle meant. What a Birmingham screwdriver was, and how to use it. How to ensure that limestone rock is bedded properly. It doesn't like it when it's on its side. Some women are like this as well. Not so much Bob as Bill the budding builder then. My funding, initial payment, for part of the Mags Hill buildings had enabled Malcolm to buy a property at Sydney Wharf by the canal in the Bathwick area of Bath. This Bath stone three-story property with sub-pavement basement was very much run down, had no electrical supply, also needed water and sewer upgrades. The intention was to refurbish it as 6 bedsits for rental to students of the University of Bath, which was sited just up the top of Bathwick Hill. My part in this development was to design /supply/fit the electrical supplies and night store heating system. 4 consumer units, timed stair lighting, ELCBs and earth bonding protection, my first big board and my second insight into property development. This property was sold to Nigel Fenwick, sales rep for a medical supplies company. He became custodian of a switched-off freezer full of food from Malcolm for his troubles. Malcolm always left something behind. The subsequent profit from this property sale allowed Malcolm to purchase another property, this time in King Edward Road, not far from where I used to live in Oldfield Park. I was to follow him in my fast diminishing spare time to home turf and assist in converting this property into 2 flats. By the latter part of 1969, much work had been done to the buildings at Mags Hill. The new flat roof of Stramit, 2 compressed straw boards, was on, and I was able to move some equipment in. I needed a 20-channel to 4 groups mixer for the studio. Radiospares supplied most of the parts /controls/transistors/caps/resistors and transformers for the mixing console I was designing and building. Couldn't he afford to buy a many thousands of pounds Neve type mixing console desk? I used some BBC designs for low noise amps, all made of discrete components. The integrated circuits of that era had very poor signal-to-noise figures. Using devices such as these would have meant that my efforts at creating quality sounds would have been buried in lots of hiss. Penny and Giles supplied the PGF 1820 faders, Normans of London and Eagle International the various control knobs. A firm at the back of Willys in Bath cut the aluminium panels for the fronts of the various modules. I then drilled and stove enameled them cellulose green, to match the ferrograph recorders, in a small electric oven. If you ever try this, do not put your face anywhere near the open door when it's hot, your lungs will shrivel instantly, and all incoming breath will quickly cease. I know, I was that shriveled young, lung, man. Much of my time was being spent transporting repair items /materials between the Bath and Timsbury shops. We employed a few local lads as labourers /helpers who included one Steve Sage. He focused on the building work with Malcolm James, while Gordon and I carried on with the repairs at Bath TV. In 1969 I became the proud owner of a newish, Rover 2000 SC car, an upgrade from the Ford Fiascos. This steel grey shiny beast soon impressed a few of the girls who worked in the Bath Ensley, Lansdowne, telephone exchange. These smooth operators were introduced to me by Pat Summers. She was living with Alan Sidwell, of the Alan Keel Trio, at the time. A group of musicians I spent a lot of nights out with. Telecom dances were held at the Assembly Rooms in Bath. My first attendance of this annual event introduced me to my first fiancé, failed, Linda Harding. She was a keen ballroom dancer, me, I was more contented with ballroom in trousers. I now had a new dress suit to maintain as well. Hilary Crammond was a 16-year-old mature-looking girl of ample proportions, ripe for development also. I encountered her at 2:30 a.m. in my bedroom being what was to become the upstairs lounge, she, en route to the bathroom, corner of adjacent room with pan and cistern poised above an unfinished floor. She had been caught short, en route home to Chippenham. Seemed a funny shortcut to me. I was most impressed with her visual credentials, and so obviously was footloose and fancy-free Malcolm, who by now, with the aid of all his new money wealth, had become a socialite in the famous Bath glittery scene. This social scene included many glamorous people, some to become household names. One beauty I remember well was Jane Seymour. Malcolm and I, shyly, yes, there was a time when I was, used to lunch with her at Daly S Restaurant, Walcott Street, if she was working locally. As well as becoming an actress, she also now owns Street Catherine's Court, an estate at Bath Easton near the city of Bath. Life was becoming more serious by the month, all these new lessons to be learnt, new places to go, new people to see. What do I care? The pressure was on then, while I was kept busy learning how to become successfully self-employed. Beware of glittery women, they are only after one thing and it's not your willy, it's your wallet. Use browser back button to return to previous page, to 1970. How much is that doggy in the window? It's a dog's life after all. Shops are us, and Bill the Builder. Girls at Leisure. Mags Hill Shop. The only picture of what our old shop looked like in 1970. Other essentials. Eagle K1400D.B meter. Valve operated Eagle audio generator and an R.F unit kept in workroom in 2010. Hacker Sovereign radio. Interior with mains unit and 1969 MK13A plug. Studio speakers. Spender BCI monitor unit. Seen here in current use in my lounge in 2010. A Wharfdale unit used for foldback, now in workroom.